With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
The first head coaching domino in the NFL has fallen. Frank Reich, the former Colts head coach, has been hired to have the same job with the Carolina Panthers. And, you know, there was a lot of talk about Steve Wilks possibly getting that job after the job that he did do as an interim coach. Didn't happen. I think it was pretty clear, Steve, that they were going to go for experience. They wanted somebody who had been a head coach. They went through the Matt Rhule situation coming from college, which didn't go very well. He's now back at Nebraska. And, you know, they still have, obviously, a big hole at the quarterback position. Not exactly sure what they're going to do there. But I like this as a solid hire to me. I don't know why Frank got fired in the first place in Indianapolis. I thought that was kind of an impulsive move by their owner, that it didn't work. Obviously, they didn't win any games after Jeff Saturday came aboard. But I like this hire.
Yeah, and I think it helps that, you know, Steve Wilks was a local guy who was campaigning hard for the job, wanted the job,
right?
And so they go with a guy who the fans know, the organization knows, because he quarterbacked there, what, 25, 27 years ago in 1995.
Yeah, a long time ago, yeah.
So, you know, but it's someone with ties to the organization too, and I think that helps. Particularly nice. When you had brought in Matt Rhule previously, you know, who had no ties. And then, obviously, Steve Wilks wanted to be there, being from Charlotte. So I think that's a good hire in that regard, too.
Yeah, and no matter who they get as a young quarterback, I think he's going to be really good for them. You know, I think Frank has taught that position pretty well. And, you know, for whatever reason, the number of quarterbacks that they had in Indianapolis, it didn't work out at times, but I don't really blame him. I think he's a good, solid coach. It reminds me a little bit what Jacksonville did, you know, this year, and bringing in some experience to help, you know, to help with Trevor Lawrence. But anyway, so he's headed to Carolina, and we've got a bunch of other jobs still pending that are still out there. We'll see what they end up doing with that. We're going to talk about the NFC and AFC championship games this weekend on Sunday. Should be good ones. We'll get into that a little bit. And we'll start by answering your mailbag questions here in just a second. Okay, first I want to remind you guys how to save money on your electric bill. It's going to be kind of cold again this weekend. I'm going to have to turn the heat on, I think. May Electric Solar, that's what we're talking about. They're a family-owned business. They've been operating and installing solar electric systems for 12 years now. There's a lot of these companies out there that are fly-by-night, but May Electric Solar is committed to you for the long term. Here's what they do. They guarantee their workmanship with a 30-year labor and service warranty. Plus, with every installation, you get $750 worth of surge protection for all your appliances. That is what they call the May difference. If you visit their Hudson showroom, May Electric displays all its products. They conduct on-site testing. You can see exactly what they're going to install. Plus, they don't use subcontractors. So all those guys up there on the roof, those are Billy May's guys. Start saving today. Call the solar energy experts at May Electric Solar. Here's the number, 727-819-2862. You can schedule a free estimate. Lower your electric bill all year long. Preserve the quality of your appliances. That's May Electric Solar at 727-819-2862. All right, we'll preview the championship games here in just a minute. Let's start with our mailbag questions. We'll go.
All right, John had tweeted us. He says, correct me if I'm wrong, Rick, but my feeling is that Todd Bowles appears to be a lame duck coach between the lack of success in 2022 and what is likely to be a stripped-down team next year. 2023 looks like a cap clear, rebuild, and setup for a new regime in 2024 with a top pick. In part two of his tweet, if a rebuild is really on the horizon, there are aging players like Mike Evans who have trade value now. Do you think that acquiring picks this way is something Jason Light will include as part of their strategy?
I think the trade part of it would have to just probably be based on where they're at, say, in October. You'll probably get more value, I would think, maybe at that point. I'm not really exactly sure. Mike Evans is someone that's, you know, such an iconic player for this franchise. It would be difficult to trade him, I think, unless he obviously were agreeable to it. I don't think he has a no-trade clause, but, I mean, it's tough when a guy's, you know, entering his 10th season with the same organization, you got to really be careful, you know, about how you do that, how you present that to him, and when you present it to him. As far as like the lame duck thing, listen, what's Todd Bowles to do, right? He's got one of 32 jobs in the world as an NFL head coach. He's not going to hand it back in, no matter what the circumstance is. He very well could have inherited this situation a year ago when, if Tom Brady had decided, you know, to not play. I think Bruce Arians was committed to coaching if that were the case. But, you know, since Tom Brady came back, he got what was perceived at the time anyway as being a great opportunity. Now, we know what happened. Some things out of his control, some things certainly in his control. And, you know, Brady going through some of the personal things that he did, a couple injuries, certainly some injuries to the offensive line, the rebuild there. There was a lot of factors that didn't exactly help the Bucs, but you know what? Todd Bowles got his shot, and he only won 8 games in the regular season. I know they didn't really play to win the last game against Atlanta. Could have been 9-8, but won the division, and that's a feather in his cap, if nothing else. But we've talked about this. I've written about it. It is, you know, the salary cap situation is not good, especially if Brady leaves or if he decides to play somewhere else in that instance. The only thing that would save them a little bit on the cap is if he retires. I think some $35 million is Brady's of dead money. If he retires, they can put about, I think, $11 million or so on this year's cap and then push the other, you know, 24, whatever it is, on the next year's cap. So, but there are ways for them to get under that too. I mean, they're going to have to make decisions. I think the test will be this, and I'm not sure it's a bad thing really, but you can save money, even though they're going to have some dead money if you do this. You'll still overall save money on the salary cap if you decided, for example, we're done with Donovan Smith. We're done with Leonard Fournette. You know, there's a certain number of players that still have remaining contracts that you can get out of. It's going to cost you some dead money, but the dead money is less than what you're going to pay them in salary. So if you start seeing some of that happening and them not signing any other free agents to really replace them, it'll be interesting because I do believe that in a different way, it feels a lot like 2009. You know, that was more about the owners and uncapped years and things like that. But at some point, you have to recalibrate. At some point, you have to say, we got to pay down this bill for the Super Bowl. And if Brady doesn't play, this would be the time to do it. And Todd Bowles is just going to have to do the best he can. I mean, you know, you're not going to go out there and try not to win. You know, you could show progress with a young quarterback in Kyle Trask. And if you did that, maybe you have your quarterback of the future. Maybe you draft a guy late. I mean, look, the 49ers are going to play this weekend with a rookie who is Mr. Irrelevant, the last pick in the draft, Brock Purdy. Go find your quarterback, you know. Go find a guy that can do some of those things. Now, you got to put a better team. You know, obviously the 49ers are loaded on both sides of the ball, offense and defense. And I think, you know, part of the strategy will be told too is like, how hard did they fight for their own free agents? You know, are they going to get, you know, some of their guys that are key guys back this year? You know, is Levante David going to re-sign for a year? What about Jamel Dean, who's an absolute stud as a cover corner? You know, I think some of that will tell the tale as well. But to me, it does feel like it's going to be a tough. You know, I know he says reload. I say rebuild. It feels that way to me. If Brady doesn't return, if he returns, then all bets are off because I think they go, you know, full bore again, pushing money down the line and trying to build the best team they can right away for Brady because they feel like they'd have a chance. But in lieu of that, you know, Bowles can make a good case for himself with maybe less talent, a new offensive coordinator, an offense that works. Players that develop from year one to year two on the offensive line, some additions. You just have to lean heavily on the draft and the scouts to bring him some players. It could come together. And I'm not saying, you know, look, they only won 8 games last year, right, with Brady and everybody else. So could you get back to 8 games? Will 9 games win the NFC South next year? I mean, tell me the quarterbacks in any of those towns, right? Who's quarterback in New Orleans? Who's quarterback in Atlanta? Who's quarterback, you know, in Carolina? This right now is a whole division searching for those guys. Now, some of them have higher draft picks and may land that guy this year, but he's going to be a rookie. So there's still a chance to win this division, believe it or not. And if Todd Bowles can do that, You know, he'll have another year. But I mean, listen, this is the I added it up. He had, what was it, 3 coordinators in 4 years with the Jets, and this will be his second in 2 years here, right? So that's 5 coordinators in 6 years on offense. That's a tough way to win.
It really is. Jay Collada tweeted us. He says, are the Bucs slow in their staff hiring process, or do they just have to wait to ask permission to speak to a coach from the Final Four teams?
Well, there's a lot of offensive coordinator positions available. I mean, we mentioned Frank Reich just getting hired, so now he'll quickly form a staff. And so with each hiring of a head coach, there'll be, you know, sort of more urgency, I think, to get your guy in, right? And then there's another about half a dozen teams that fired their coordinators. So right now there's a lot of interviews happening and not a ton of signings, although we did see that Nathaniel Hackett was hired as the offensive coordinator of the New York Jets, so that's one job that's down. Hackett has obviously been in Green Bay and ties to Aaron Rodgers, so there's a lot of speculation that maybe Rodgers would agree to a trade to the New York Jets, a little reminiscent of the Brett Favre deal back in the day. They don't want to deal him to an NFC team. So there'll be a lot of speculation in New York, certainly on talk radio and stuff, about what that means, you know, for Aaron Rodgers. But I don't know that it's moving any slower for the Bucs than it is for any other team. They had Keenan McCardle in here on Thursday. They've had a couple coordinators now. They've already interviewed. They'll continue that process, and it's really just trying to, you know, find the right guy, and you know, more important to be first is to be right. You know, and I also think that a lot of these guys that have options are going to want to really ask sort of the questions that we were just asked about being a lame duck coach. Like, you know, what am I getting into? Is this a one and done situation? Who's my quarterback? What are the chances Brady returns? You know, they're going to be interviewing the Bucs as much as the Bucs interview them. So, but no, I don't think as we sit here, you know, late Thursday afternoon, that things aren't progressing fast enough. Although I would say, you know, keep your eye on the candidates. Like, a lot of people are down, like, oh, I don't know these guys, you know, they don't sound very. Listen, there's a lot of good young coaches out there, and guys like Jim Bob Cooter have done stuff in Detroit with Matthew Stafford. You know, there's just, you know, Clint Kubiak was in Minnesota, did some nice things as an offensive coordinator there, passing game guys, you know, so. You just can't. It's not about, you know, well, we didn't get Bill O'Brien, so, you know, the Bucs are scraping the barrel. That's not how it works. I mean, there's good coaches all over this league. It's just finding your philosophy to mesh with what Todd Bowles wants and what he wants to do. And I think in a lot of ways that if they hire a younger guy, there's a good chance or a chance that he'll bring some ideas and some concepts that'll, you know, sort of modernize the Bucs. And if nothing else, they've had this same offense now since Bruce Arians arrived in 2019, so teams have caught on to it, and they'll have to relearn the Bucs and won't really have an opportunity to do that until, you know, week one or whatever they show, which is very little in the preseason. So in some ways, this could actually help them. But, yeah, we're a long ways from saying that, you know, no one wants to work here or it's just too slow. Mm-hmm. I think they're run on schedule really with everybody else.
The other part about the slowness is it's only been a week. I mean, other teams.
Yeah, they fired guys a week ago.
Other teams had openings for now a week and a half, if not had fired coaches during the year. I mean, the Bucs made the playoffs and then had to do the evaluations.
Yes.
So you're really early in this process for the Bucs. The other part is Nathaniel Hackett. Everyone thinks that means Aaron Rodgers is going to New York. I think it means Russell Wilson's going to New York.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He would love that. Sign me up for Nate's offense because it just works so well for me in Denver. The happiest guy, I think, in football might be Russell Wilson. And I don't know whose fault it was. I really don't. I've known Nathaniel Hackett for a long time. You know, Paul Hackett coached here. And his son, obviously, is Nathaniel. Nathaniel was here for a brief time. And I met him when he was a young coach. And he's really progressed very well. And no one was complaining when Aaron Rodgers was winning his fourth MVP. And he was calling plays for him. It just didn't come together in Denver, but, you know, I think part of that had to do with Russell Wilson. And sometimes the system, you know, they hired Nathaniel, and I think they hired Nathaniel hoping they could get Aaron Rodgers. When that didn't happen, they ended up with Russell Wilson, gave up a bounty of picks for him. I don't know that Russell Wilson was ever a good fit for what Nathaniel does. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's as simple as that, you know, square peg in a round hole. So we'll see what the next guy does in Denver. But, yeah, I've always thought Nathaniel was a good coach, but we'll, you know, it's going to, it's going to be fun on radio up there and stuff, the buzz with the Jets and just, you know, can Aaron Rodgers become a Jet?
All right, you kind of hit on this question, but Matt had asked, so far the offensive coordinators the Bucs are interviewing are not recognized names, but up-and-comers. Is the list of OCs the Bucs are interviewing a sign that they understand Tom Brady is not returning and it's time to move on?
I don't think so. You know, when I talk to people close to Tom Brady, they're consistently saying a lot of the same thing. And one of them is that, you know, he has not decided what he's going to do, right? So if he hasn't decided, it's not, there's not a lot of information about, you know, what's going to happen. And the reason he hasn't decided is because he made that mistake a year ago. You know, from what I understand, the word decompressing, healing, those are the things you hear with what Tom Brady is up to right now, and reconnecting with his kids and his family. So, you know, that right now is his priority. I think that wherever he were to go, if it wasn't to Las Vegas with Josh McDaniel, he's going to have to learn a new system. And frankly, based on his reaction to what they've been doing the last year, year and a half, 2 years, I think he's ready for one. I think he's ready for something that works. And it hasn't worked. And I think there's a lot of reasons why it hasn't worked. And he's part of that. But I also think that he's going to embrace, you know, wherever he goes. And like I said, short of Las Vegas, you know, there's not really a lot of, or going back to New England, of course, there's not really a lot of things that would be familiar to him. So, no. Listen, Tom Brady's going to make his decision based on what's best for him and also his family. I think sometimes people misread sort of like, you know, Tom's going to have a lot of opportunity, right? Okay, well, you have a lot of opportunity. Now, I'm going to write about this on Sunday in the Tampa Bay Times and on TampaBay.com. But, like, you know, when you go to a buffet, there's a lot of choices, right? And there might be 35, but there might only be two things that you really like, you know what I mean, that really work for you, that you want to eat. And I think that's similar to with Brady. I mean, it's going to be 35. There's only 32 teams. There's not going to be 32 opportunities. But let's say there's four or five, right? Maybe only one or two really work for him. And regardless of, you know, and I the pendulum kind of swings here with me a little bit, and I've said, I've talked out of both sides of my mouth at this point, is that, you know, you can certainly look at it and go, well, you know, they fired all these coaches, including Clyde Christensen, and Leftwich is gone. It's like, you know, this is an acknowledgement they're rebuilding and they don't have any cap money, and he's out of here. He's never, if he comes back, he's not playing here. That was a goodbye. His last press conference, you know, there's a report on, you know, by Ian Rappaport quoting two unnamed players with one line each that said, you know, gee, it felt like goodbye. We wrote about it the day of the game, you know, after the game, just about the mood and his parents and all that. And so, you know, somebody's going to be right and somebody's going to be wrong. But every time I sort of test the waters and I, you know, take the temperature and say, you know, what are the chances if Brady plays, you got to go on that premise, if he plays, what are the chances that Tampa would even be considered? And the fact of the matter is it would have to be, right? It would have to be because you're not going to change the fact that his kids live in the South Florida area in Miami. You cannot change the fact that his one son is on the East Coast in New York. And don't, you know, I'll keep saying this until he makes another decision, but Tampa worked for him. It didn't work from a football standpoint last year. You can't say it didn't work the year before. I mean, they were, you know, one bad coverage on Cooper Kupp away from maybe playing in the NFC Championship game after his comeback. And the thing about Brady is this, like for all the people that say, well, he knows, you know, that he can't, he's looking for a better, well, he's always looking for a better player. You always want to play with the best players. You always want to have the best chance to win. You always want the best defense and all that. The thing about Brady is that he's an eternal optimist. He believes he's going to win. He believed at halftime against the Dallas Cowboys they were going to come back and win. That's who he is. And He knows there'll be a lot of work to do, but he also knows this, that the Glazers will do what they can to get good players in here and fix it, right? And he'll want to fix it if this ends up being the best place for him. He'll look at everything and he'll have opportunities, but not everything is as it seems, right? Not everything. Going out west, maybe not be the best thing for him at this point in his life. You know, it's 1 year. His kids are older. He's divorced now. They went through a whole football season last year of coming to be with him in Tampa. And for whatever that looked like for him and for them, they've done it. It worked. It happened. And so, yeah, I just think that as much as on the surface it looks like, well, he's definitely not going to play in Tampa, I wouldn't completely write them off. And quite frankly, you can't write anybody off because we don't even know if he's playing, period. But, yeah, that's what I would say. So, as far as the coordinators go, no, I don't think a new coordinator would scare him away, would shy him away. I think the philosophy, oddly enough, it didn't come to pass last year, but what Bowles wants to do is what Brady wants to do, and Bowles will find a coordinator that's in line with his desires, which is, I want to run the football. You know, every conversation they have with the new coordinator is going to be, look, we got to run the ball, and whether it's schematics, you know, these are our players. If they can't do this, let's not ask them to do this. Let's do something they can do to help us run the football, because you can't have any quarterback dropping back 55, 60-something times a game, Brady especially. So if they solve that by hiring a coordinator that's in concert with what Bowles wants to do, then that coordinator will be in concert with what Brady wants to do. Does that make sense? So I think that Brady will be probably pleased with whoever they hire, because I like I said, I think Bowles has a clear idea of what he wants.
All right, Greg tweeted us. He said, I understand the desire for drafting and developing a franchise quarterback, but the objective is to win a Super Bowl. The Bucs have done that twice with free agents. Shouldn't the Bucs fill their other holes and then get a veteran quarterback to put them over the top? Bills, Dolphins, both had franchise quarterbacks, but no Super Bowls.
You know, why would you say, if you look around the league right now and the guys that are, you know, sort of playing, the two previous Super Bowls, right? Matthew Stafford came in, won one for the Rams. Brady came in, won one for the Bucs, right? Here's the problem. And Brady never took, like, the top money up from – the one thing Brady would do, which was really helpful, is he didn't take top money. He could have asked for $45 million. He left a lot on the table to fill out the team, right, to build guys, because he knew he's about winning and he wanted good players around him. That's not always the case, okay? But if you look at the quarterbacks now, right, whether it's Josh Allen, who's out of the playoffs right now, but Joe Burrow's on a rookie contract, right? And they've got number one picks all over the place because they were bad for years. You've got Patrick Mahomes is one of the guys that is getting paid, and he lost Tyreek Hill, and he lost players, but he's so good, and the organization's so good that they've not skipped a beat because he's arguably one of the best quarterbacks playing today. You look at San Francisco, Jimmy Garoppolo, they were going to move on from but couldn't, but they've still managed to field a pretty good team, and now they have a rookie if they go that way, and Trey Lance is still on a rookie contract, and you know, that was going to be the solution for them. And my point is this. If you have young quarterbacks that are still on the rookie deals, you can build around them. You can use that salary cap money and build around them. What happens is when you have a Dak Prescott, you start losing guys like Amari Cooper. You start losing pieces. And some quarterbacks can win with whatever you throw out there, and some quarterbacks need all those players to help them win. And you're much better off to draft and develop, because during that five-year window of the rookie deal, you can build around them and use your salary cap money to do that. So, you know, if that makes sense, I think that, you know, you're always better off if you can find, draft, and develop a guy. Now, the problem is there's just, you know, they don't grow on trees. And so you have to lose and lose significantly to be in range to get one of those guys. And, like, you know, teams will tell you, I don't want to lose that bad. I don't want to have the first pick in the draft. I don't want to, you know. And if you do have that pick, if you are somebody picking in the top five, your football team is crummy. That's why you're there. They're bad, right? So now your rookie quarterback's going to a bad team. And we've seen this over and over again in Tampa Bay. You know, Jameis Winston comes in. He thinks he has to be the savior. It's hard for him to lead. He doesn't have much around him. You know, it's not always foolproof. But you got to weigh that against who is the field. Who are the free agents that are out there? Which veteran quarterbacks can I attract? Tom Brady was a unicorn, right? And there's certain quarterbacks like that that you'd kind of have that opinion of. Aaron Rodgers would be one. But there's not many of those guys available every year. So I think you should always draft a quarterback. I would hasten to say that, you know, I mean, look, Purdy was the last pick in the draft. If you draft or sign a guy that's an restricted free agent, undrafted guy, take a quarterback every year because you never know when you're going to hit on a Brock Purdy or you're going to hit on a Tom Brady or something like that. It's rare, but at least you continue to fortify the position with young talent. And then if you get injuries, it works out. But I still think the way to go, if you're fortunate enough, is to lean on your scouts, draft and develop a quarterback, and build around him if you can. Otherwise, yeah, go steal him. You know, if you can rip one off that you know is great, have at it. But just like the Rams, where are they now, right? They give up so much for Matthew Stafford and so much for Von Miller and so much for, you know, different players to win that Super Bowl that they may not be good for years, right? And so that's sort of the price of doing it that way.
All right, Michael had asked, when are other teams allowed to talk to Tom Brady?
They're allowed to talk to him during the legal tampering period, which I'd have to look at a calendar, but it's on or about March 13th. It's like the Monday before the start of the new league year, which is on Wednesday, the second week of March, I want to say. And so there's like a 3-day legal tampering period, same time he was able to talk to the Bucks. Now, we'd all be naive, okay, that when they have the quote-unquote legal tampering period or the what they call the negotiating period, where you can agree to a contract but you can't sign it until the first day of the new league year, they added these 2 days because they knew tampering was going on anyway, so now it's going on even earlier. You know, that's that window, right, where – Brady can sign with another team. Right now, he belongs to the Bucks, and that's sort of how, you know, they got in trouble with Miami Dolphins because, you know, a year ago before they played the NFC wildcard game, Brady was talking to the Dolphins about joining the Dolphins, and he was still very much under contract and was going to be under contract for this season, for the 2022 season, regardless of whether he played or not. Somebody would have to come to the Bucks and give them compensation if they wanted his rights. And he was betting that the Bucks would move on, find their own free agent, and then, voila, asked to be traded to Miami for a bag of peanuts. And, you know, I did give you a Lombardi, give me a break here. But it didn't work out that way. We know that the tampering came down, and for whatever reason, he didn't go to Miami. But he will be absolutely free to talk to any team, no compensation for the Bucks. And if he leaves, it's a $35 million cap hit. That's the downside if he does anything but retire.
All right, Lucian had tweeted us. He says, hey, guys, what would you think of our current roster with Trask as quarterback would do under a Kubiak-Shanahan-type offense, assuming Clint would run the same similar style of zone blocking and play action that his dad did in Houston and Denver?
Well, it's a good question. I mean, I think you can run zone blocking with some of these guys. I don't know that all of them would fit it, but, I mean, there are some good athletes on this offensive line, guys that can move their feet, maybe not the biggest people in the world. It doesn't matter how big Tristan Wirfs is. He can play in any scheme. He's a great athlete. You typically do it with smaller offensive lines, and you rely on your running backs. You know, you have to drill that over and over and over again, but you rely on your running backs to, you know, stick their foot in the ground and, you know, cut into a hole, find that gap, and then explode. I think Rashad White could do that. I don't know about Leonard Fournette. It's really got to be suited to your offensive line. But, like, if Jensen comes back, he's mobile enough, but I don't know what that knee injury will ultimately do for his mobility. So it's kind of a weird thing to contemplate. But, yeah, Kubiak, certainly his dad was known for that scheme in with the Texans and also with the Broncos. So it's a great thing that the Bucs will have to consider that can help an offensive line that may not be as powerful and dominant in man blocking where they just knock people off the ball. So it's something to think about. But I mean, like I said, I think, you know, when you're talking about some of the guys on this offensive line, they're not the biggest guys. They're not necessarily the strongest guys. I don't know that Donovan Smith has the feet that would really benefit that. But I don't know that Donovan's going to be back anyway. I mean, that's a big decision for Jason Light and those guys as to whether to bring him back. Now, you got to have a left tackle. So, you know, are you going to be able to draft one at number 19? That's going to be difficult. But, yeah, we'll just see. I mean, listen, they have him in there, right? They have him in there, so they are aware of the offense he runs. So they have to be accepting that, you know, what he does, his scheme, his philosophy is something that attracts them. So already you know that there's something that they like about it, and maybe they think it's a fit. You know, we'll have to see if they hire him, but on the surface, you think they must believe that it would fit.
All right, Ghost Snarf tweeted. He says, will the Crow's Nest be back at Ray J for the Bucs 2023 season? If yes, and Kyle Trask is the Bucs quarterback, could be plenty of room to stretch out and work on a tan.
Ouch, babe. Yeah, I think it will be. I don't think they're going to have those extra seats in the south end zone covering the Crow's Nest. So I think there'll be a lot of patio area. And, you know, I would say that I don't know what their season tickets are because, I mean, a year ago, if you bought a season ticket, you had to buy 2 years' worth of season passes. So you're coming back no matter who the quarterback is. Listen, everybody loves a winner, right? And there was plenty of room on the bandwagon when Brady was here. They'll be breaking ankles jumping off of it if it goes the other way. I've lived this before. I've seen that building full. I've seen it empty. I've seen it full of the opposing team. You know, that's another part of that. And there's a lot of teams coming down here, I think, this year that will bring some fans of their own. But I think, you know, the toughest thing, and it's going to be a shock to a lot of people, including people that cover the team, the toughest thing, I think, for the Bucs fans is going to be their franchise has been so relevant, right? I mean, even last year, I mean, you could barely flip on TV that they weren't talking about Brady. They weren't talking about the Bucs. They weren't even with his problems, right? Anticipating, oh, they're going to get it going. If they just get it going, you know, go to Germany. Oh, this is it. They turn a corner. So he brought so much relevance to this franchise that most of the teams in the NFL are just not. They're just not relevant. And they're not relevant because they don't have a quarterback. I mean, it's as simple as that. You know, the Josh Allens, the Patrick Mahomes, you know, the Jalen Hurts, the, you know, even the Dak Prescott's. I mean, the teams that have that guy are going to win, and they're gonna take all the oxygen when it comes to the coverage in the NFL. So if Kyle Trask is your guy, kind of a regional dude, a lot of SEC fans, a lot of Gator fans, they'll love it. I mean, anything we write about Kyle Trask goes straight to the chart, top of the charts. So they'll give this guy every run they can. And listen, he's been working really hard. The downside for Trask is this. He's been working for 2 years trying to perfect a system that he now will not run. He's been doing fundamental things too, but for 2 years, his reads, his, you know, his spitting out the offense, spitting out the play, all that stuff, that's gone. So he lost a lot of the work product that he's put in, and that's unfortunate for him. It really is. I mean, I'm not joking. Like, that's a bad thing for him. So not only will he be getting his first bite of the apple and maybe able to compete for a starting job, but he's got to do it not knowing the offense. And there's just not enough game experience. You know, you can drill it. You can rep it in training camp. You can run all the 7-on-7 and 11-on-11 drills where the quarterback's not getting hit. But when you get an actual game at game speed, something that he doesn't have, he's thrown all of 9 passes in his career, been active for all of 2 games. Not knowing the offense is not a recipe to success for a young quarterback. And it's unfortunate because a lot walked out that door from a schematic standpoint for Kyle Trask. Now, that doesn't mean he can't learn it. It doesn't mean he's not capable or anything like that, but it's not going to help him, right? So that part, I think, is unfortunate for Kyle.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
As for the conference championships this weekend, Steve, your Cincinnati Bengals are going to go to Burrowhead Stadium.
Yep.
Why do I think that's gonna like bite the Cincinnati Bengals on the butt? Like all this talk about Burrowhead. I understand Joe is 3-0 against in that stadium, but are you okay with that? Are you okay with all that smack?
Well, it's a question. I mean, is the player saying it or is the fan saying it?
I think the players have said it.
I mean, Willie Gay for the Chiefs just was asked what impressed him about the Bengals offense. He said nothing.
Wow. Well, they're going after Willie Gay then.
So.
Jeez. Yeah. Well, listen, I've always thought this, that it to me, and the greater the player, the more they'll invent stuff. Like, you know, Jordan was favorite. Brady's famous for that. I've always thought it's hilarious that you're getting paid millions of dollars. You're playing at the highest level. You're one of the elite athletes, top one half of 1% or whatever it is. And you need bulletin board material to motivate you. The money and the fame and the pursuit of championships is not enough. You're probably in the wrong business. But yet, that stuff still applies.
If it can give you just a little bit more of an edge, they'll take it.
Well, they'll take it. I mean, that's the way that the athlete is wired. You know, you got to light the fire, keep the fire burning, and it burns pretty hot. But you can always turn it up just a little notch, and that's what they're looking for, that 1% that they talk about. Listen, I think this, that I would be concerned if I was a Chiefs fan about Patrick Mahomes' ankle. I know he's walked around pretty well on it, and he practiced, and they said he was full. And listen, this time of year, you know, there's no contact in practice. There's no pads. Certainly no one's going to hit Patrick Mahomes. He's not going to be out there, you know, sprinting, trying to get away from pass rushers and stuff like that. I think we won't know. And you know, there is this thing called needles, and they can numb that thing up pretty good. But I'd be concerned because I think a lot of his game is mobility, you know, escapability, keeping plays alive, being able to throw off different platforms, all of that. And, you know, I guess on the one hand, while it's good that, you know, Patrick Mahomes sometimes can throw off of neither feet, you know, he could throw jump passes if he wants to. Maybe he doesn't have to plant and throw as much as the next guy. So maybe that's a little bit more of a benefit for him. But at some point, man, you're just kind of one hit away, you know, and you worry about, like, you know, he's going to have the adrenaline going and the crowds behind him and all that. My thing is this. I just think the Bengals are a better football team. And I think their defense has really improved. But I love Burrow and I love those receivers. You know, Kansas City has done it without Tyreek Hill. They've done it without some of their guys. And you know, it's impossible to stop some of their weapons anyway. And they're going to do some stuff. But, man, Cincinnati, to me, everybody kind of forgot about them. You know the last time they lost, Steve? Halloween. How long ago was Halloween? That's their last defeat. Now, they had the game canceled that they were winning against the Bills. That's a long time, man. This team's got a whole lot of confidence and momentum right now.
They do. They're, only like the eighth team ever to start 0-2 and make a conference championship game?
Yeah.
Everyone kind of wrote them off at the beginning of the year because they started 0-2.
Yeah. It was stupid. But they caught fire, and they're playing really, really well. And they didn't have three of their offensive linemen. I think Kappa may be back. I think a couple of those guys might be coming back.
Kappa and Williams are both still, you know, questionable. I don't think they've practiced yet, but...
Okay.
But, you know, this time of year, the practices are basically walkthroughs anyway.
Yeah, that's true, especially for linemen.
So.
Well, yeah. I like the Bengals in this game. And
look, I know everyone talked about the Chiefs-Bills playoff game last year, and rightfully so. It was a phenomenal one.
It was great.
And everyone was expecting that to be the rematch in the conference championship this year.
Yep.
But the Bengals-Chiefs games have been great games, the three that Burrow's beaten over Mahomes. And I expect this game Sunday is going to be another great game.
Right. And I just think that people assumed, for whatever reason, that, you know, it would be Chiefs or Bills right again. And they forgot, hey, this team just went to a Super Bowl, man. They actually got there last year, you know, and could have won the damn thing. And, you know, in many ways, they're kind of better this year. I don't know. I don't know what I'm missing. I think the Chiefs are really good. They're tough at home. It's a hard place to play. But certainly hadn't bothered Joe Burrow throughout the years, and it won't bother him on Sunday. I definitely like the Bengals. And in the other game, I've gone back and forth with this one in my mind, and Dan Orlovsky almost convinced me, but he didn't quite. And what Dan said is like the Eagles. First of all, the Eagles' defense has been phenomenal, right? They got like 70-something sacks this year. It's insane, an insane amount of sacks. Like going back to the 80s, this is like the most. So they get after the quarterback pretty good, okay? And you've got a rookie quarterback on the other side. Of course, what the 49ers want to do is run the ball. Now, the one thing that Orlovsky made a point of is that, you know, because their defensive linemen and front seven want to get upfield so fast and attack the quarterback, they're vulnerable to around the edges. And that's where San Francisco runs. They're a perimeter running team. You'll see McCaffrey run inside from time to time, but they got a lot of speed. They like to get those guys onto the edge. If the Eagles get upfield too fast and don't set the edges, it could be a tough day. The other thing they do is they throw into the middle of the field. And frankly, that's exactly where Brock Purdy throws the football. That's where they want to throw it. That's where they feel the safest throwing it. So those two vulnerable areas on the Eagles' defense is sort of plays into the strength of the 49ers' offense. However, I still believe that assuming Jalen Hurts can continue to function with that shoulder, and I think he's injured. In fact, I know he's injured. But he proved last week that he's well enough to run when he needs to run. He's protected himself well enough that they'll score enough points. And if you can get the Niners in a trail position, if you can get them in the fourth quarter where the clock matters and they're behind, I still haven't seen Brock Purdy in that position. And as great as he's been, and make no mistake, what he has done is unprecedented, right? But as great as he's been, I don't know he can win games for you in a two-minute situation. It's the one thing we haven't seen him have to do. And so with a home crowd, with a great defense, and with an offense that with Hurts is as good as anyone's, I think it's going to be really hard for San Francisco, even though they're a phenomenal team. They're a great team. But it wouldn't surprise me if the quarterback position, and this is their third guy, winds up getting him there but not over the hump. Because in these big games, in these championship games, Super Bowl games, your quarterback has to be great. He has to play great. Not good, great. And I just don't know that Purdy, I don't know how he's going to respond to it, especially on the road. And, you know, every week I say, well, I think this is the week maybe he gets tested. And, he keeps passing the test, you know. But he was one juggling George Kittle catch away from not winning that game the other day. And he got a big lift. And after that play, they ran the ball about six or eight times for a touchdown, and that was it. So, you know, if it gets in a situation like that where Kittle doesn't make a play in a tight game and he's behind, it'll be interesting to see how they go. So I actually like the Eagles. I think it's going to be Eagles against the Bengals in the Super Bowl. What do you got?
I tend to agree. I mean, I think Brock Purdy, this is going to be the toughest defense he's faced all year. It's probably the second best defense in football behind his own.
I think so, yeah.
You know, and how he responds to that, and can he make a big play in a big moment against that defense? I take Philly for that reason. It's hard to beat a team four times in a row in 2 years, as the Bengals are trying to do with the Chiefs, but
it is. It really is.
I just think the Bengals are rolling right now. I think Joe Burrow's got that confidence.
Got Joe Swag, man. Yeah. They got Joe Swag.
Yeah.
That team has his swag, by the way. You will go the way your coach and quarterback are. You will. Mm-hmm. You really will. You think the Bucs that first year didn't, and they were more talented. I'm not dismissing Gronk and Antonio Brown and all that. But you don't think those guys picked up on Brady's confidence a little bit? Mm-hmm. Or they were confident because they had the GOAT?
Absolutely
they were.
Evans and Godwin and David and all those guys that are really good players but hadn't experienced that. Yeah, they were feeding off that. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
No question.
Yeah. And the Bengals will too. So We'll probably be wrong as rain. We'll talk about it on Monday. That's
why they play the games. That's how they say how they go. So
should be a great week of football. The Lightning, of course,
play their last game for over a week tomorrow night against the Kings.
That's it, huh?
Yeah. Then they get the All-Star break, the bye week All-Star break, the All-Star games next Friday, Saturday.
You're gonna go. How about that?
I will be down in Sunrise for that. So
that's awesome. Yeah. So, but we'll be talking about the All-Stars and you know, seeing how the Lightning finish up this, what I guess is the unofficial first half of the season.
Yeah, they're more than halfway through, but yeah, it's their bye week or whatever they call it, All-Star week.
Kind of the midway point, if you will. Yeah. Not exactly half, but the midway point. So, yeah, lots to talk about next week. Keep it here on Sports Day Tampa Bay. We appreciate you listening. For Steve Burstyn, I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times. Have a great day, everybody.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.